Superstition on the air. Ladies and gentlemen, we offer you another short story in a series designed to disclose the origin of superstitions. This one deals with the belief that if you see a pin and pick it up, it will bring you good luck.
Wait for the next one.
Oh, wait a minute, Louise.
What's the matter? What are you stopping for, Elsie?
I want to pick up this pin. It means good luck, you know.
Oh, good gracious, Elsie, don't stop for that now. We'll lose the train.
I've got it, Louise.
Well, then come on, Elsie. The train's starting now.
Oh, I'm hurrying as fast as I can.
Now, jump on. Hurry up.
Oh, we just made it, Louise.
Thank heaven.
Let's sit here, shall we?
Yes. I'm all out of breath.
Well, we wouldn't have had to run so fast if you hadn't stopped to pick up that pin, Elsie.
Oh, but you don't know what the saying is, Louise. If you see a pin, pick it up, and all the day you have good luck.
Oh, nonsense. You don't expect me to believe that you're really serious about such an idiotic superstition, do you, Elsie?
I certainly am serious about it, Louise. I know a number of people who have had good luck after they picked up a pin.
Oh, coincidence, nothing more. Just as ridiculous as the old story that was responsible for originating that superstition.
Why, how did it originate, Louise?
Well, you see, Elsie, in the medieval days, metal had always been considered a protection against evil and witches. So after brass pins were imported into England from France in the 15th century, people sometimes threw them as offerings into wishing and healing wells.
My, how silly, Louise. Using pins as offerings.
Oh, no, it wasn't silly to the people of that time, Elsie. Because pins were highly expensive, and so were considered worthy offerings. In fact, they were so costly that in order to prevent the women from spending too much of their household money for them, a law was passed prohibiting the sale of pins, except on the 1st and 2nd of January. Consequently, housewives began putting small change aside so as to have the necessary pin money ready when the time came to buy them.
Pin money? Is that where that phrase we use today originated, Louise?
Exactly. But to get to the story. In England, as the tragic War of the Roses was drawing to a close, many feudal lords, in their lust for power, were confiscating property of the gentry and lesser nobles, killing people and committing all sorts of outrages.
People and their property were not very safe in those days, Louise. But what has that got to do with the superstition of picking up a pin?
Well, I just want you to realize the conditions existing then, Elsie. So you can understand how little things were often greatly exaggerated in the minds of the people.
Oh, I see. That's the background of the story.
Yes, Elsie. But to go on. In about 1480, I think, there lived on a fine estate north of London a man by the name of Thomas Clark and his lovely daughter Elaine. His property and stock were coveted by Robert Henning, a feudal baron who lived close by. Henning wanted Thomas Clark and his followers to join forces with him, so he could conquer his bitter enemy, another feudal baron, Edward Morton by name.
Did Clark join with Henning, Louise?
No, he rejected all of Henning's offers, for he was a peaceable fellow and didn't wish to implicate himself or his followers in any petty warfare. Finally, the Baron Henning decided to use force to accomplish his ends. So he laid his plans with his chief henchman, Geoffrey by name, who was really a spy for Morton, the Baron's enemy. The Baron was outlining his plan to Geoffrey one evening, and...
Thomas Clark has defied me for the last time, Jeffrey. This very night, I will make him accept my terms.
What do you propose to do, sire?
I shall force him to sign his possessions over to me. With the fine sight his property commands, I shall have the very outpost I need as a defense against that scoundrel Morton. Besides, Clark's stables have many fine horses, and he has a goodly following of men. All this will add to my power.
What if he refuses to sign, my lord?
Refuse, will he? Not if we put a sword to his neck, Geoffrey.
Ah, but sire, Thomas Clark is a very stubborn man.
Well then, I'll find another way to bend him to my will. I'll torture his daughter before his eyes.
Ah, 'tis well, my lord.
And that failing, I shall kill him. Then I'll force his daughter to sign everything over to me.
Sire, you are remarkable.
Now then, Geoffrey, you shall go and seize Thomas Clark and his daughter. Bring them here. Take a band of my men. You may meet with resistance.
Aye, sire. And shall I throw them into the dungeon when we return?
Yea. The cold and slime of the dungeon has made many a man change his mind.
Well spoken, sire. Before this night is past, methinks Thomas Clark will be most eager to accept your terms.
Yes, Geoffrey. By the gods, I'll have what I desire. Now go. Call your men together. Be off at once.
Aye, sire. I go to fulfill your orders immediately.
Charles.
Yes, Geoffrey.
Listen, Charles. Write to Morton's castle. Tell him he must strike tonight, for the Baron has just ordered me to seize Thomas Clark and his daughter so that he may force Clark to join with him.
Oh, yes, Geoffrey.
And Charles, you must convince Morton that it is imperative, for by tomorrow the Baron will have added power, and it'll be too late then for Morton to overthrow him.
I understand, Geoffrey. I'll ride at once.
Be careful that you are not observed. Make haste. Off with you now. I must call the men to go with me to seize Clark.
Men, take up your arms.
Hey. Aye, master.
And now to your horses. We go to the house of Thomas Clark to seize him and his daughter and to bring them here. Follow me.
Into this dungeon with ye, Thomas Clark. And ye, young wench.
What is the meaning of this outrage? What have we done that we should be thrown into this filthy dungeon?
Silence, you fool. You'll find out soon enough. Now get in there.
Nay. Nay, I refuse. Release us at once.
Refuse, do ye? Come, and we'll throw them in.
Elaine. Elaine, my poor child. Are you hurt?
Something sharp seems to be in my knee, Father. I struck it when those men threw me to the floor.
Let me see, Elaine.
Oh, 'tis but a pin, Father, that hath pierced my knee.
A pin? Perhaps it is an omen for us, Elaine.
Yes, Father. You know, metal is a powerful protection against evil. I shall keep this pin, and if we are released from this place, I'll take it as an offering to the magic well of Girth.
Yes, yes, my daughter. Let us hope this is an omen of good, for we need protection. This Baron Henning is a madman. He'll stop at nothing.
Huh? You've done good work this night, dear.
Ah, that scoundrel Henning is coming now. Henning! Henning! I demand release from this dungeon.
Yea, and ye may have that. On one condition, Clark.
What is that?
Swear allegiance to me, and ye and your daughter will go free.
Nay. Nay, I'll have no hand in your murderous business.
Zounds. I'll kill you then. But you'll suffer first. I'll torture your daughter.
Oh. Nay, Father. Don't let them take me from you.
Baron Hemming, have mercy. Do what you will with me, but spare my daughter.
Then sign this document.
No. I cannot betray my people into your bloody hands.
Very well, then.
Geoffrey, bring out the girl.
No.
Tie her to the whipping boy.
Oh, no.
Strip her down to the waist.
Oh.
I'll use the lash.
No. Stop, Henning. Henning, have mercy.
Look, Clark, and see the pretty welts I shall make upon the fair skin of your daughter.
Oh. You cannot break out spirit with the lash, Baron.
You think not, pretty wench. We shall see.
Wait! Drop that lash, Henning.
What? What do you mean, Geoffrey?
I mean that I will not let you strike that helpless girl.
You miserable knave! Why, I'll cut your heart out.
And if you do, Henning, you shall not escape either. For Morton at this very moment has entered your courtyard with his men.
Oh, so you've betrayed me to Morton, eh? Why, you swine!
Hey, there! Ah! Die, Henning, you die! Ah. Ah, gentle maiden, I will release you now. Do not fear. Henning is dead. Morton and his men have arrived, and you and your father will be returned safely to your home.
Ah, oh, noble Geoffrey, we humbly thank you.
Aye, a thousand thanks.
And so, Elaine and her father were freed. They attributed their miraculous release to the finding of the pin, which they had believed was an omen of good for them. But as you know, the pin really had nothing to do with it. So you see how far-fetched that superstition was, Elsie?
Why, no, it wasn't, Louise. It saved them from torture and death.
But don't you see, Elsie, that Geoffrey, knowing Morton was attacking the Baron's castle that night, had the courage to turn against Henning and kill him? So regardless of the pin, Elaine and her father would have been saved anyway.
Well, yes, that's true, but...
Central Station! All out!
Well, here we are at the city, Elsie. Come on, let's go.
All right, Louise. My, what a crowd.
Heavens, I should say so. Come on, let's push right through here, shall we?
Yes, Louise. I'm right behind you. Oh, good heavens! Louise, my purse! Oh,
what's happened to it, Elsie?
Oh, well, I must have dropped it somewhere, and all my money is in it.
Well... Picking up that pin hasn't brought you very much good luck, has it, Elsie? Oh, come on. Let's look for it.
Oh, everything I own is in it.
Well, you should be more careful.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, we hope Elsie recovers her purse. But whether she does or not, we know that she'll still believe that picking up a pin will bring her good luck. Well, au revoir and good luck to you.